WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program, and hope it's starting off well for you. It is certainly a little bit chilly, but as Phil just told you, it's going to warm up, and you're in that weird space of you need a jacket when you leave in the morning, but you don't need it by later in the morning. I wake up saying, I should wear jeans today. And then I look at the forecast and say, nope, definitely not. Wearing shorts. But here it is. It is September 11th. And of course, we will address that with the appropriate solemnness that befalls this day. But also, we have a lot of things that we're going to talk about as well. Of course, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour today, we are going to be joined by the immortal Hulk Hogan. And he's going to be talking with us about some of the appearances that he has coming up today in Massachusetts. Your chance to meet him on the South Coast. So we'll talk about that. We will also take your calls at 508-996-0500. Your app chat messages and open line voicemails in the WBSM app. But that's it. Election's over. It's all wrapped up now. I'm not talking about the debate performance. I'm talking about the fact that after the debate, Taylor Swift came out and endorsed Kamala Harris and Tim Wall. So it's all over. All the Swifties are going to come out and vote, and it'll be a landslide for Kamala Harris. I'm being facetious, folks. Don't get worked up. And I can already envision everybody getting ready to send those app chat messages. I'm just being facetious. But it is a pretty significant endorsement for her to receive, because there are a lot of people who look to Taylor Swift. And I don't know if that's a good idea to look to a celebrity for who you're endorsing. And I think it's fair to say at least a majority of the Taylor Swift fans were already going to vote for Kamala Harris. Not all, but you know, a good portion of them. So. But that was an interesting little side note to the debate that I thought, I don't know this because I started watching it late. I DVR'd it because I had to appear on a friend's podcast at 8 p.m. And I was like, well, I told them I could only do an hour, but it's probably going to run over. And it did. So I started it late and I didn't really like keep track of how much time it was. So I don't know if they went 90 minutes like they were supposed to, or if they went over that. My feeling is that they went over that. But I watched it. I, you know, was able to skip through the limited commercials and watch some of the analysis afterwards. And the analysis that I saw and read this morning, you know, basically agrees with what I saw, that Kamala Harris won that debate. But does it matter? It'll be a few days before we really start to get the poll results that show if this debate swayed any of those undecided voters. If it created any kind of an edge in some of the battleground states. And my guess is probably not too much. I'm sure it counts as a moral victory for the Harris campaign, because she was able to get up on that stage and more than hold her own with Donald Trump. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't know how much it sways people. And, you know, of course, the news networks will go out and find those undecided voters, or the people who say they're undecided voters, and get their thoughts and see what they think about what happened. And we'll see those reports over the next day or two. And maybe have a little bit better idea. But in terms of the performance, I don't know how anybody watched that and thought that it went Donald Trump's way. I mean, obviously Donald Trump does. But I don't know how anybody looks at that and says, yeah, he came out the better of that. And don't call in with all the crap of, well, of course, it was three on one. I thought that it was a perfectly fine moderation job. I thought they let the candidates get in that extra word a little bit too much, especially Trump. I mean, he got more chances to rebut things. I saw a statistic, and I don't know if it's true, but that he got 30% more time. I don't know if that's accurate. It was in one of the running notes that I think the AP was keeping. So I don't know, because I read it after the fact. I don't know if that happened like mid-debate, if that was a final number or something. It doesn't feel like it was that much. But I definitely felt like, you know, he was getting more in. And I think that was fine with Kamala Harris. She was happy to sit back and let him say what he was going to say, because for the most part, she had a response for it. And then, you know, I'm just going to address the complaints that I've seen from people. Another was that, gee, it really seemed like she had the questions ahead of time. I mean, you don't need to have the questions ahead of time. You knew what the topics were going to be. This is not a surprise. No presidential debate has had a, oh my God, I was not ready for that question moment. They know what they're going to ask. And they're able to prepare answers for those questions. They might not know the exact phrasing, which is why sometimes the answer sounds like they're not really addressing the question directly, but they know what's going to be asked because, of course, these are the topics that are important. And if they asked 20 topics last night, they prepared for 40. So it's Donald Trump had the questions in advance too then, because he should have known what they were going to talk about. So those were two of the biggest things. And the other one was that, they weren't fact-checking Kamala Harris in real time like they were Donald Trump. Well, that's because she wasn't lying as much. Now, she did have some things that she said that, you know, the AP, I saw, you know, a fact-check later. And while nothing that she said was deemed by the fact-checkers as an outright lie, they were certainly listed as partially true or, you know, needs more information, needs more, so what I'm looking for, explanation, I guess. So it needs more of, it's basically like you're trying to oversimplify it when it's a more complex thing than what you're saying. And so certainly there was some of that, but you can't debunk that in real time, but you can debunk outright lies, which is what they were doing. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
I'm good. I have to call early because as soon as I hang up, I want to be one of the first five in line for blood work. I want to get in and I want to get out.
They don't have you make an appointment?
No, I go right into the lab. It's Hawthorne Medical in Dartmouth there. Mm-hmm. Just when they open the door, there's always a line outside, no matter how early you go. People are just in a big hurry. Yeah. And me too. I don't want to stand in that big line, you know. Yesterday, lost my neighbor, a man that lives right next door to me.
I'm very sorry.
He had a problem. Thank you. He was the quietest guy. I mean, I never heard boo out of him. And the only thing I would hear from him is his bedroom wall is my bedroom wall. You know, he's on the other side of it. And his breathing was so bad, I could hear him at night struggling to breathe, that he was a very, very heavy smoker. And he also was a drinker. But yet, he was the nicest guy. I had nothing to say about him. And when I saw them coming to get him, I just was in shock because I didn't expect him to die. I mean, but he's gone. He's about, I'd say, 54, my son's age.
Wow.
What else did I want to talk about? And I really don't want to get into that debate because, you know, you're going to argue with me. You know, like when Trump came out and said about when they were breaking in, they were eating that people's pets and all. Listen, I heard that on all over the news myself, but don't let Donald Trump say it, though. Yeah, he said it. And you see Kamala laughing and all that crap. He's saying what everybody else heard on the news. So why shouldn't he mention it?
Because it's not true. Because he didn't bother to actually find out if it was legitimate. He's just repeating a rumor that turned out to be an incorrect rumor.
Okay. I'm not going to even.
Well, why, let me ask you, why do you believe it?
When they ask her a question like, do you think we're better off today than the, she couldn't give no straight answer because she couldn't, Mr. Weisberg. What was she going to say?
Well, why didn't he give straight answers to questions either?
He gave a lot of information out there. Were you really listening or just
Googling
at your girlfriend over there?
I was. I was listening to a person stammer through a bunch of things that had nothing to do with the questions that were being asked.
She's not going
to
make it. She's not going to make it, Mr. Weisberg. And I know you're not going to believe me when I say this because you mentioned
What do you mean by that? Like she's not going to win or she's not going to get to the election?
She's not going to win. She's not going to be president. Anybody with an ounce of brain knows that she should not be president. So if that offends you, sorry.
Got a lot of brains, and I disagree.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Taylor Swift. You're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you, but it's the God's honest truth, and I'll swear it before God. I listen to a lot of radio stations. I have at least 2,000 of them on the internet, and every single one of them are talk shows. Mm-hmm. Not one single music. I have never heard a single song by Taylor Swift ever since she came on the scene. I don't know the names of any of her songs. I've never heard her singing. Don't care. And now I don't care about her even more. She would never get a dime out of my money. Never.
Okay. She's doing fine without it.
Well, that's absolutely she's doing fine. But that doesn't make her any better than you or me. These celebrities come out with all kinds of things to say. Come on.
No, I agree. Celebrity endorsements don't really mean anything. I agree with you.
Well, listen, I understand now that you're voting for her. I didn't even want to get into this. I know you. If you noticed lately, I have not been saying it. I'm not doing anything like that. No, I'm sick and tired of the whole damn thing. She should not be president. You can see what they've done the time that she's been in office with Biden. And he always comes out when he does talk and say he's so proud of his son, proud of everything that his son's been doing for the world to see. And if you don't think that the United States was in better condition when Trump was in office, then you have a screw loose too, Mr. Weisberg. Okay?
All right.
All right. You have a good day now.
You as well. I hope you are number one in line.
Thank you so much. God bless you for that. Thank you.
All right. You have a great day.
Bye-bye. You too.
And 508-996-0500 if you want to react. I mean, yeah, celebrity endorsements. I mean, so here's where celebrity endorsements help, I think, is in fundraising. So when, you know, one celebrity endorses you, then some of the other celebrities in their orbit, they start to donate to your campaign or they might hold a fundraiser for you or they might perform at your fundraiser. So I think it helps in that regard. But I don't think the average voter is sitting around waiting to see who their favorite celebrity is going to vote for before they make their decision. I think that you probably see more of an effect on the celebrity who does the endorsing than you do on the candidate for it. But the Taylor Swift endorsement is a little bit different because it is something she did become a political figure, for lack of a better term, when she spoke out against Trump previously. Then the Trump campaign, Trump retweeted an image, an AI-generated series of images of her and her fans apparently being for him. He knew that it wasn't real, and I think it was kind of tongue-in-cheek when he posted it. But so she has kind of been brought into it a little bit, and that's why she said she felt the need to come out and say something because of those AI images before that were shared, in her opinion, as if they were real. So it makes sense why she did it, and it was perfectly timed to come at the end of the debate. And it was well done for Harris and Walz supporters by having a picture of her cat Benjamin Buttons in there with her and signing it off as, you know, Taylor Swift childless cat lady. it was all well done, but is it really going to have a huge effect? Probably not. I think it matters more that there have been Republicans who have come out and endorsed Kamala Harris. I think that matters more. If you want to look at the celebrity endorsement game, I would take the celebrity endorsements that Kamala Harris gets over Donald Trump's. I mean, most of the celebrities that have been the most vocal about Trump are washed up has-beens. You know, nobody cares what Scott Baio thinks. Nobody cares what Kevin Sorbo thinks. Nobody cares what John Voight thinks. Nobody cares what Kid Rock thinks. In fact, I know somebody that knows Kid Rock. I know somebody that grew up with Kid Rock and says he's the biggest phony there is. And you can't believe anything that the guy says because he always just says whatever is going to make him look like the most important person. No wonder Trump likes him. But I don't think any of it matters. No liberal-leaning person and potential Kamala Harris voter is like, you know, I was going to vote for her, but Kid Rock said Trump's the better candidate. So, bah with the bah, I'm going to have to, circle Donald Trump's name on the ballot. Just like nobody who is going to vote for Donald Trump is going to be like, oh, wait, Taylor Swift is voting for Kamala Harris. It's just something that they collect. And I had this discussion in the newsroom when we would get these emails from local candidates for office talking about who was endorsing them. Expecting there to be an article, a news article, about the fact that, you know, this person got this endorsement. And I'm like, no. You can list them all on your campaign website and put them on your social media and all that stuff. Like, that's fine. That's what it's for. But it's not newsworthy unless it's like, you know, if it's the Teamsters, if it's the United Auto Workers, these huge unions. Then, yeah, then it's worth something. But like, if the smaller unions and the local chapters of those smaller unions are the ones that are endorsing you, it's just. It doesn't really have weight with people. It's not information that the voter needs to know. It's just something that looks good. So anyway, the Taylor Swift thing, I only opened up with that as more of a joke, because while it is big news, because of her prominence in pop culture. I mean, I was seeing CNN go on and on about it for 15 minutes last night. I was like, it's not worth 15 minutes of your time. The big question, will there be a second debate? And the Harris campaign sent an email out last night that said, I'm just going to read this couple of lines. Under the bright lights, the American people got to see the choice they will face this fall at the ballot box between moving forward with Kamala Harris or going backwards with Trump. That's what they saw tonight and what they should see at a second debate in October. Vice President Harris is ready for a second debate. Is Donald Trump? And Trump was, you know, in the spin room with reporters afterwards, and they asked him if there would be a second debate. And he said they want another debate because they lost. So we'll, you know, think about that. And then later on, he appeared with Sean Hannity and he said, I sort of think maybe I shouldn't do it. Well, I don't know, he said. I have to think about it, but if you won the debate, I sort of think maybe I shouldn't do it. Why should I do another debate? She immediately said, we want another. That's, you know, what happens when you lose. You immediately want to do a rematch. So a second presidential debate has not been announced. The vice presidential candidates will debate on October 1st. So you're probably looking at, you know, October 10th or so for a second presidential debate, if they have one. I'm just picking that number out, you know, but you'd want to have a week or so after the vice presidential debate. Maybe they do it immediately a week after. Maybe they do it, you know, October 8th. But I think the I think the idea that if you want a debate, you don't need to do a second one says to me that either A, you don't really think that you want it, or B, you're like, got through that one. Wow. Got lucky there. Don't want to have a second one because then I might screw it up. If you won that debate, and we've seen Donald Trump say this before in the past when he felt that he won a debate, and in cases where he's won a debate, let's do another one. Donald Trump never went to a rally and had tons of people show up and say, that's enough. I don't need to do another one of these things. No, one begets another. And you would think, if I could win something, I want to do that all the time. I don't challenge people to air hockey every time there's an air hockey table, because the last time I played air hockey, I just squeaked by somebody. I challenge them to air hockey because I think I'm dominant at it. And so I want to play everybody. I'm probably not, but I'm falsely confident in my air hockey abilities. And I'm going to ask everybody that I see, let's go play air hockey. Come on. What are you, scared? So saying, I don't know if I need to do another one, tells me, you know, you didn't really win it. And nobody's saying that he won it except people who have obvious blinders on. 508-996-0500. I've got to take a quick break here. We will be right back. And I just a little bit of trolling there. I just played Taylor Swift so that now Mary can say she has heard at least one Taylor Swift song, or at least a part of it. So we're going to go into the newsroom now. When we come back on the other side, more with you. 508-996-0500. Right now, it's time to turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
Harris and Trump square off in a tense debate. The nation remembers the 9/11 terror attacks. And a new diet pill shows promise.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The debate between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump got contentious at times. They squared off in a debate hosted by ABC last night in Philadelphia, where Kamala Harris invited people to attend a Trump rally so they can see how Trump talks about fictional characters like Hannibal Lecter.
And what you will also notice is that people start leaving his rallies early out of exhaustion and boredom. And I will tell you, the one thing you will not hear him talk about is you.
Trump tried to tie Harris to some of the Biden administration's unpopular policies, but Harris responded, quote, I am not Joe Biden. On immigration, Trump said Harris is destroying the border and mentioned false claims that immigrants are eating dogs and other pets in Ohio. They also squared off over issues including Ukraine, abortion, the economy, race, and more. People around the globe are remembering the victims of the 9/11 terror attacks today. On this 23rd anniversary of the attacks, family members of the victims are gathering with local leaders in Lower Manhattan for the annual reading of the victims' names. During the ceremony, there will be 6 moments of silence to mark when both World Trade Center towers were struck and fell, when the Pentagon was attacked, and when United Airlines Flight 93 crashed in Pennsylvania. The UN General Assembly is expected to vote next week on a resolution calling for Israel to end its occupation of Palestinian territories within 6 months. The draft resolution, written by the Palestinian Authority, notes an opinion from the International Court of Justice that Israeli occupation and settlements are illegal. Israel's ambassador to the UN called the resolution disgraceful. Another person is found dead at Grand Canyon National Park just days after a separate death was reported. Matt Mattinson has more.
Officials say a 71-year-old man was discovered in the Colorado River Tuesday near River Mile 63.5. He's been described as a boater who went missing Monday night. This comes after a 59-year-old man was found dead Saturday by members of a non-commercial river trip group he was a part of. He was discovered at Poncho's Kitchen near River Mile 137. Both incidents are currently under investigation. There have now been 8 deaths at the Grand Canyon since July. In Phoenix, I'm Matt Mattinson.
About 1 in 4 Gen Z and millennial adults say in a new survey they will not have children because of financial reasons. A new survey from MassMutual claims 23% of adults ages 18 to 43 plan to remain childless because they're concerned about their ability to afford children. And a new diet pill might be able to reduce body weight by 13% after only 3 months. Tammy Trujillo has the details.
The European Association for the Study of Diabetes announced its findings Tuesday on a new daily weight loss pill from Novo Nordisk, the maker of Wegovy. Early trials show the rate of weight loss appears to be more rapid than what's been reported from other drugs. The pill has yet to be tested in a head-to-head trial against existing weight loss drugs, and the results of the trials have yet to be published in a peer-reviewed journal. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Red Sox dropped another game last night, falling to the Orioles 5-3 at Fenway Park. Their three-game set with Baltimore wraps up tonight in Boston.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
After another cool start, today is going to be another bright, beautiful, and comfortable one with low humidity and highs inland reaching the middle and upper 70s. With high pressure dominant across the northeast, we may stay mostly sunny for the next several days. Temperatures by the end of the week climbing into the lower 80s, including both Saturday and Sunday. More clouds work in by early next week, but we look to remain dry through at least the middle of next week. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
In 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails using the WBSM app. App chat message came in from Jeff. He says, good morning, Tim. The debate was pathetic. No one had nothing to say about the future. The whole debate was moderated about the past. I disagree with that. I think that there was some talk of the future, certainly from Kamala Harris pushing that approach, talking about, you know, still not enough specifics, but some of the ideas and the plans that she has for creating this opportunity economy, as she's calling it. And I think even Donald Trump talked, to some degree about the future. But it's going to be hard to escape a debate not being about the past when you have a former president and you have the current vice president who has been there for the last 3.5 years. So, you know, you really can't help but make the past a big portion of that. What I would have said is, this would have taken an immense amount of coordination and agreement between the campaigns and the networks. But I would have said, let's do two debates, okay? Let's do a debate where in the first one, we can revisit everything that's happened in the Trump era. We can revisit everything that's happened during the Biden-Harris administration. And let's talk about that. Then in the next debate, it'll only be about what we want to do in the next 4 years. I don't know that, you know, it would be hard to keep the candidates on point for that, but I would have, you know, tried to have that approach. And I've not just in this campaign, but I thought, you know, anytime that you've got an incumbent president, that's a, you know, I kind of want a balance of that. I guess this, you know, this obviously being a unique position because you don't have somebody who has been in three presidential campaigns as the nominee for their party. It's never happened. Well, it has, but not like this, and certainly not in these televised debates. So I think that this is a situation that would have called for that kind of two-prong approach. Let's do one debate where we litigate the past, and I don't mean that as a Kamala Harris, you know, litigator reference, just in general. And then let's have another one where we point toward plans for the future. But I do think that there was some future talk in that debate. I also think that they weren't really talking to people who were like, what is your plan for the future? they were talking to people that they had to say why they're a better person than the other person, why they're a better choice than the other person. And the other part of it is, I don't know. I think Donald Trump's future that he's planning is beat Kamala Harris and then undo everything that they've done. The same way his plan in 2016 was beat Hillary Clinton and undo the things that Obama has done. That's the plan. There's a very generalized plan. And in fact, they asked him about the attempt to appeal the Affordable Care Act that they didn't get done when he was president before, when they had the congressional votes to do it. And they asked him if he has a plan for that. And he says he has, you know, what do you say? What was the term that he used? Like the outline of a plan, the structure of a plan. Well, how do you not have that plan by this point? If there's one person that laid out actual plans, it was Kamala Harris. And if that's not what you heard, I don't know what you were listening to. Now, again, they weren't specific enough. They weren't in depth enough. They didn't explain what the effects might be of those ideas. But she did explain what the effects would be, at least what the economists were saying the effects would be of Trump's economic plan. I would have liked to have seen them have more, and I get it, you know, they're not bringing paperwork in with them to this debate. So, you know, rattling off facts and figures might be a little bit difficult. All those numbers would certainly get jumbled up in my head on a debate stage. But more specific numbers would have been helpful. I mean, Trump was saying numbers, but none of them were true. None of them were accurate. He's just pulling numbers that he thought sounded good. And see, that's a thing. And this is why I don't understand why people don't see this. Donald Trump doesn't think that you're intelligent enough to realize when he's just doing this. He just said, if I say this, they're just going to believe it. So I'm just going to say it. Like, does that not insult your intelligence as a Trump supporter? And one thing that has always stood out to me about that guy is he doesn't know history. Either that or he willfully ignores it for something that sounds better. They've been here for the worst economy in American history. There was a thing called the Great Depression. Make that statement as the worst economy since the Great Depression, which still isn't even true. But at least show that you have some historical context. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Again, later on this morning in the 8 o'clock hour, we are going to be hearing from the immortal Hulk Hogan. You'll have your chance to get out and meet him later on today if you are interested in doing so. He's going to be at Yankee Spirits in Swansea from 2 to 3 p.m. Then he'll be at Yankee Spirits in Attleboro from 4 to 5 p.m. And then at the Six String Grill and Stage in Foxborough from a Patriot Place from 6 to 7:30 p.m. From my understanding, at least at the Yankee Spirits events, this is something that I read online, but that there's going to be a limited number of people who can get a picture with Hulk Hogan. And in order to get a picture, you have to buy, I think, 2 cases of Real American Beer. And then you get to go and take a photo with Hulk Hogan. And he'll only sign the cases of beer. So you don't bring all your Hulk Hogan merchandise and paraphernalia. Don't bring all that because he's not going to sign all that. But you'll have the opportunity to get a photo with him if you buy the beer. And I know people who have purchased the beer and they said, yeah, it's pretty good. You know, it is what it is. It's just a straight up American lager. And Hulk's going to tell us exactly how that beer came about later on this morning. 508-996-0500. Not the other Dan says, Tim, come on, Tim. Grasping at straws is unbecoming. You're better than that. I expect more from a man of your ilk. What was your average grocery bill 4 years ago? You know what? Throw the grocery bill argument out the window. Throw inflation out the window, okay? Don't mention that. And you've got nothing. You've got nothing. And by the way, my average grocery bill has not really changed that much. But I'm not a good accurate depictor of that because I'm eating less than I ate 4 years ago. So don't use me as a benchmark for that. But grasping at straws is what any Trump supporter does if they watch that debate last night and they come away saying that their stable genius came away looking like the victor. That their stable genius came away looking like a guy who should be president for the next 4 years. He looked more like an out-of-touch, doddering old doofus than Joe Biden did in the first debate. I felt bad for Joe Biden with his stumbles during that first debate. I honestly think Donald Trump felt bad for him. You could tell like he was kind of uncomfortable with some of those, and rightly so. I mean, it was bad at moments. But last night was more, stop giving this guy a microphone at this point, because he's not even trying to make sense. He's not even trying to. He's just throwing out a bunch of stuff, and you're all eating it up. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a quick break here, and then we will be right back. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim.
How's it going?
It's going not bad. That debate last night was an absolute train wreck. You know, Donald Trump could really mess up anything he wanted. He is a horrendous debater. Like, he just goes out on a tangent, making no sense, bringing up cats and dogs and so many ridiculous things. And, you know, luckily, I don't base my vote on debates. Because debates can have quirky things. It can make somebody look real good when their policy is actually really bad, and they can actually make somebody who has good policies look real bad.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, you know, I look at total policy and not as a debate. You know, I don't get my information from a debate where people are kind of getting cut off and it just... You know, it's just one of those things, you don't get a lot of information out of it. But, man, that dude does so much harm to himself. It's incredible.
And I think that's why, you know, Kamala Harris was happy to sit back and let him just do it in a lot of those cases. And, you know, I will say one thing, as bad as you're saying it is, it could have been a lot worse. So in that regard, I'm glad the microphones were turned off because... You know, it started to devolve, I think, right after she started questioning the crowd size and the people walking out of the Trump rallies. I think after that point, things really started to devolve because he doesn't like when anybody picks on him.
Right. And when it hits his, his stature.
His ego, yeah.
Yeah, his ego. Oh, my God. He's like, don't talk about me like that. Like, he's more protective about his ego and how he looks than anything else. That's why he always talks about his poll numbers. That's why he always talks about ratings on the TV, because that's a scorecard for him.
And as Kamala Harris pointed out, that's what he cares about, not the American people. That's why he's running, not the American people. I mean, you can agree with it or disagree with it, but she was using that, you know, to her advantage to say,
yes,
this guy is just in it for himself.
Right, yeah, 100%. And he doesn't help himself by doing that. right? Even though his policies are significantly better than her policies on a different bunch of different levels, in my opinion.
And
he doesn't help himself in that argument where he just defends, oh, my rallies, nobody leaves my rallies. Nobody cares.
Right. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to people, yet he needs to bring it up. And I can guarantee his campaign is probably sitting back and going, oh, he did it again. And, you know, I honestly had a lot of hope for this debate, specifically because he had Tulsi Gabbard, who has debated Harris in the past,
mm-hmm.
and really put Harris in her place and really kicked her out of the campaign in 2020. And she was playing Harris during the debate prep. And he just, like, in one ear and out the other. It just, everything that he was probably learning and preparing for during the debate, the debate prep, goes right out the window as soon as somebody attacks his ego.
And because here's what happened. She knew how to bait him, and she did, and he fell for it every time.
Yeah, and one of her one-liners, well, there's a few one-liners that she had last night, but one of them really caught me was when she brought up, listen, over 200 people, 200 Republicans, high-standing, high-ranking Republicans have endorsed me, and how she went after his former staff. You know, your former generals, your former security advisors are all saying that you are unqualified and a terrible human being and should never be close to the office of the presidency again. When she brings that up, she holds a lot of power over him, and he didn't know how to handle it.
I thought one of the best lines that she had was when they were talking about Putin, and she said, you know, you want him to, of course he wants you to win because he knows that you're weak. He thinks that you're weak and that he can, you know, have his way with you. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but right. she used the word weak, that he thinks that you're weak, and you could tell that just set him off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that triggers him big, big, big time. But one of the things, you know, when the reality is that Putin actually came out and said that he wants Biden in there or Harris in there because they're more predictable. And how Trump is probably less predictable and not irrational, but like less predictable. You don't know how that, because he doesn't go by the norms, the standards that have been set for decades. So he's a little, I guess, not worried, but like concerned about his irrationality versus the Biden-Harris tradition of how it's always been. You know, a relationship between the United States and Putin, the United States and Russia, the way it's always been. So Putin favors a Harris administration, but who knows? I don't trust anything that Putin says anyway.
Well, and he kind of said recently that he was like endorsing her, but that was like a trolling thing. Like he kind of said that, you know, sarcastically. But at least that's the, you know, what the reporting was on it. But I mean, she told Trump last night that, you know, Putin is a dictator that would eat Trump for lunch. And that
was actually a huge line that I was like, ooh, yeah, that was a point.
And you know that Putin just was sitting at home laughing at that. You know, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. Donald Trump could be his best friend in the world, but he still is laughing at that situation.
Yep, absolutely. But,
all right.
Man, like I stood up for that, and I was like, I went to bed, and I was like, why did I do that? Why do I stay up for these things? It doesn't matter to me.
Well, it was entertaining at least.
It was definitely entertaining, and she won hand over fist because she stood out as more professional, more presidential, and he was just a old man who's just screaming. He's like I've been saying since 2016. He is the Facebook comment section.
Mm-hmm.
This is where he gets his information from, Tim. He gets his information from like memes and Facebook. That's why he was saying the Haitians are eating dogs in Springfield, Ohio. I looked it up last night, and I looked up local reports, local news reports, like a local WBSM or a local Standard Times out there. Nobody's reporting this.
Right. The police department and the town manager both come out and said, none of this is not happening. It came up, and somebody brought it up in a meeting, and the video went viral, and people started believing it based on what one person was saying in a meeting.
And then you got the potential president of the United States getting his information this way? That's ridiculous. This guy, like I said in the beginning, does more harm whenever he opens up his mouth. He would win in a 1984 Reagan fashion if he shut up.
Which
he
was...
really would, because his policies are so much better for the United States in a lot of people's opinions. But like people like myself, I will be voting based on policy, not on a debate. And, you know, the debate's not going to sway my opinion one way or another. But if there's a lot of people that do, unfortunately, and this is where they're going to watch that debate and they're going to vote based on that debate.
Yeah.
And that's the travesty of how we are as Americans, because we are 30-second clip people. We only get information in 30-second clips. And unfortunately, that's what debates are built around.
Right. I got to just hold you there because I got to take one final break. But thank you for the call. You have a great day.
Talk to you later. Bye.
And we'll be right back.